Here's an odd play on art imitating life and life imitating art. When a group of Cistercian Trappist monks in the Czech Republic needed a new monastery, they found just the design they were looking for in a photograph of a Calvin Klein store on Madison Avenue in New York City. You might think that's strange, but architect John Pawson had drawn inspiration from Cistercian architecture. So when the monks wrote Pawson asking him to design the Novi Dur Monastery, he took the assignment with joy. The monks went to visit Pawson in London.
My passion is spatial quality, and I think that's what they probably recognized, hopefully, or that's what they saw as being. I mean, when they came to my house, I think they were rather surprised that I lived in a way, not lived, but the architecture was in some ways similar to their own, in the sense of the light and the quality of the spaces.
So this particular group of monks, how did they find the picture of your store?
Well, of course, when they first got in touch with me, they said, "Oh, well, we've seen the Calvin Klein store." And of course, in my mind, I had this vision of them walking down Madison Avenue. And it wasn't until quite a lot later that they explained that they'd actually got it from a book that I put together called Minimum, in which there was a picture of the Calvin Klein store,
with some Cistercian. What is that store like? Just tell us very briefly what aspects of that store resonated with them.
Well, I mean, I suppose talking in architectural terms, it's, Calvin chose an existing bank, but that allowed me to have kind of double height space, and together we put down a stone floor. And so it has, I mean, they said, gosh, isn't it a pity that it sells clothes? Because, I mean, I guess they saw the table as more as an altar rather than a place for clothes.
Were you surprised when you received the letter?
I didn't believe that it could be true because, for me, I mean, genuinely, it's the opportunity of a lifetime.
And why is that?
Just, being able to put together a series of spaces which, are as good as you can sort of possibly get, and people to use them in a way that improves them.
Now, imagine that this is not television, this is radio. Imagine that you're trying to describe what this monastery looked like originally and actually what you're doing with it. And how would you tell our audience
what
it looks like?
Well, I think the thing is that this monastery is actually a new monastery. So it'll be the first new monastery built, obviously, in this millennium. But I mean, there were only six built in the last century. So it's quite a rare event. And the monks bought about 100 acres of remote Czech farmland and woods. And so in the middle of that was this ruin of a 18th century Baroque manor house, and with farm buildings forming a quadrangle. And as it happens, what we've done is to restore the beautiful Baroque manor house and then add three more wings to form a square of which the cloister goes round, and we built a new church. But I mean, it's in the most amazing remote rolling hills.
Now this is a monastery, I gather, that doesn't have a lot of money.
By the rules or by the way they operate, they don't have really any capital. They rely on donations for the kind of capital expenditure, like the buildings. And they make enough money through very light industry to exist. So they're self-sufficient once you've got them there.
But how was your project funded? I mean, I gather that in general you do projects for very different kinds of people, for the rich and the famous and the well-funded.
People have also, the two most asked questions that I have is, how come the monks end up, using you and spending money? And of course, they've helped in a very, very focused way to produce something special architecturally without spending one unjustified dollar. And of course, I agreed to do it at a realistic architectural fee, but of course, much reduced from what I normally would charge. When I spent a week with them in the cloister, I was amazed about how, what an amazingly admirable bunch of people they are. I mean, they are quite the modern, focused, true positive people with amazing sort of unlined faces, even the 90-year-old.
How much time do they spend in silent contemplation?
It's a silent order, so they don't talk, except either in a very special room or when they're outside the enclosure or the monastery itself.
Now, they don't generally talk, but they must have talked when they came to London see you.
let them out, and you can't stop them. It's like when you put them in a car, you know, because of course they don't. They have to use a car if they travel, but I mean, it's quite sweet to watch, because I mean, they drive as though it's the newest thing, you know, on the block, and of course they talk, and they're very highly educated people before they got the calling. So, I mean, they can talk philosophy to you, or by leading the life that they do, I mean, I think they serve as pretty good example to us of how you can reach some sort of fulfillment in life.
Do you envy them?
I do. I mean, my wife, Catherine, was very seriously worried that I'd stay. But you know, you can't, because, I mean, a monk is called on, and you can't suddenly decide that you rather like the idea of it, because it's just too tough if you don't have the calling.
It may be that you're somewhat self-effacing, but I noticed that you described the land.
Yeah.
Could you tell us what your monastery looks like?
Well, funnily enough, we started with existing rather handsome agricultural buildings, which I've always been partial to a barn. And so I went to a lot of trouble to have a sort of modern and an old together.
I've heard that the nave has a particular quality of light.
Well, I was very keen that not, you know, to sort of have a stained glass window or a cross or something that when you're sitting looking towards the apse. And they also needed a route for funerals. They needed a route out. So what I've done is put full-width stairs of the church behind the altar, disappear down. So, in fact, you not only get a curved apse at the end, at the east end, but also there's an appearance that there's no floor. So you get this rather extraordinary sort of effect. And, of course, the altar seems to float in a sort of haze of luminescence.
Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, well, it's very, very nice of you to be interested.
Architect John Pawson spoke with us from London. His forthcoming book is called Themes and Projects. The monks will move into the Novi Dur Monastery on August 20th.